You're listening to Mocha Macabre.
Welcome to Mocha Macabre, the place where ghost stories brew dark and the coffee stays hot. I'm your host, James from iMonster.com, and every week I serve you a fresh cup of the paranormal, real life hauntings, eerie encounters, and the unexplained, all with a splash of cream in a latte to die for. So grab your favorite mug, settle in, and sip something sinister. This is Mocha Macabre. And now, a warning. Throughout time, the story of Jack the Ripper has been turned into movies, magazines, stories, and legends. It's made him a household name. There are many facts about his murders that we'll uncover in this story. The story is one that entices many. It's very fascinating, although extremely gruesome. The man who killed these women was a vile and psychopathic individual. This next story contains vile imagery and storytelling. Listener discretion is advised. So, here's what we know. Jack the Ripper is dead. Well, actually, we only know this because it's been several hundred years since he began killing people, and as far as we know, no one in the history of man has lived to be 300 years of age. But what if I told you some of the evidence suggests he was from the United States? Would you believe me? Let's get into this story, but let's start with what we know. Oh, and by the way, this is the Halloween special because I love me some terror, some serial killing history. So I just wanted to say happy Halloween because I love this stuff and I hope you do too. And if you do want more stories like this, let me know. Leave me a comment or give me a thumbs up. Imagine walking down a dimly lit street. The dark orange brick on the walls barely visible. Only a few stragglers stumbling down the cobblestone road, probably drunk. A dense smog makes it hard to see far into the distance. You hear laughter. Suddenly, a hand wearing a black glove grabs you. Your hair gets yanked. You feel pain on your side. You can't tell, but you think it's what a deep knife feels like. You feel it again and again. You stumble to the ground. Now, on all fours, you pick yourself back up. Then you feel it. It's a pain too deep to be real. You lose your breath. Now you feel like you're drowning. Why are you gurgling? But most importantly, what are you gurgling? Your mouth fills up with blood as you realize what the sharp pain is. You fight and struggle to get your hand to your throat. You feel the gash on your neck. The blood pours out the side of your neck as you start to black out. You know who it was. It's Jack the Ripper claiming his next victim. Who would have thought it would be you? So, now that I've painted a picture, let's start with the timeline of his murders. Okay, can I have my regular voice back? Okay, let's do this. From 1888 to 1891, 11 deaths in the Whitechapel district of London became widely known. It's one of the first cases of a serial killer gone viral, so to speak. Now we call him Jack the Ripper, but back then they also called him the Leather Apron. Ooh, spooky. Okay, I'm being silly, but the Leather Apron, right? Catchy name. You know, he wore an apron because medical professionals wore aprons, cooks wore aprons. I don't know. Who else wears an apron? Farmers wear aprons, right? Okay. Anyway, let's continue. Even though there were 11 identified murders during this time, only 5 linked back to Jack the Ripper. His modus operandi, or MO, consisted of brutally stabbing prostitutes, mutilating the face and vaginas. He removed vital organs and slashed their throat. Jack the Ripper was never caught, Therefore, no one knows his true identity. However, there are a couple of theories floating around as to who he might have been. Okay. So let's get into the five victims that were directly linked to Jack the Ripper. And they call them the Conical Five. The five murder victims that were traced back to Jack the Ripper are Mary Ann Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Eddowes, and Mary Jane Kelly. Mary Ann Nichols' body was located on Bucks Row, now the street is actually Durward Street, in Whitechapel, at about 3:40 a.m. on Friday, 31st August 1888. She had two slits on her throat. Her abdomen was torn open by the same weapon. Annie Chapman's body was found around 6 in the morning on Saturday, September 8th, 1888. So only about a week later. It was found near a doorway in the backyard of 29 Hanbury Street, Spitalfields. Chapman's body had very similar wounds. Two deep slashes on her throat and a deep abdominal wound linked both of these murders together. However, the uterus of Chapman's body was removed. What a sicko. I know I'm telling this story, but I'm like, what a sicko. Witnesses also say they saw Annie Chapman walking with a dark-haired gentleman around 5:30 in the morning, 30 minutes before her body was found. So was that Jack the Ripper? Were they so close to identifying him? I don't know. And maybe we'll never find out. Okay. So Elizabeth Stride, she was killed in the early morning of Sunday, September 30th of 1888. Her body found at 1 a.m. in Dutfield's yard off Burner Street. Now, the street is called the Hendricks Street in Whitechapel. It is said one gash to the neck caused her death. However, her body did not have the abdominal cuts or mutilations that the others did. So authorities suspect Jack the Ripper was interrupted by someone passing by and he was unable to finish what he was doing. He got spooked, basically. With this in mind, many people think Stride's murder should not be linked to Jack the Ripper. Also, witness statements contradict each other. Some say they saw Stride walking with a fair-skinned, poorly dressed man. Others say the man she was with was dark and well-dressed. Catherine Eddowes' body was found the same day in Mitre Square in the city of London, about 45 minutes after Stride's body. Her throat was slashed, her abdomen ripped open, half a kidney and almost all of her uterus was removed. A local witness later stated that he saw Eddowes with a fair-haired man with a poorly dressed appearance shortly after her death. The last of the Conical Five murder victims of Jack the Ripper is the most gruesome, so prepare yourself. Mary Jane Kelly's body was found in her apartment at 13 Miller's Court off Dorset Street, Spitalfields, at 10:45 in the morning on Friday, November 9th, 1888. Okay, you might want to mute this if you don't want the gory details. Her throat was slashed so deep, it exposed her spine. Her abdomen was torn open and most of the organs were removed. The heart was also taken from its chest. Her face hacked away until rendered unrecognizable. And you know what? I know that I put this up on YouTube too, so they have pictures, and I have them all. So if you're watching this on YouTube, maybe you want to look at the pictures. I haven't decided if I'm going to post them, but if I have them, I might as well post them. But it might be taken down because I don't know how much YouTube is going to want to, you know, accept this video for its gruesomeness. Anyway, let's continue. So here are a couple of theories of what people think Jack the Ripper was doing. Some people speculate the Jack the Ripper was a religious man. Others say his murders are a statement against the poor or even his hatred for prostitutes because, you know, he only killed prostitutes. All of his victims were prostitutes. If you pinpoint the victims on a map, the points make the shape of a cross. Was this the statement that Jack the Ripper was trying to make, or is it all coincidence? What do you think? Leave your opinion in the comments. Now, there were several letters as well. The story of Jack the Ripper has so many details, it's no wonder they've made him into movies. Some of the crazy facts that came out of these murders are the letters that are supposedly from Jack the Ripper himself. Even though police reportedly received hundreds of letters, there were only three letters that stood out the most. And I have the letters here. The first one is called the Dear Boss Letter. This letter was dated the 25th of September and postmarked the 27th of September, 1888. Received by the Central News Agency and forwarded to Scotland Yard on the 29th of September, and it was considered a hoax, actually. However, 3 days after the letter was postmarked, Eddowes' body was found, and the letter states that he has cut the ears off of his latest victim and will send it to the police station soon. Coincidentally, Eddowes' ear was snipped off. Or was it a coincidence? The ear was never mailed to the police station. So was this a bluff? Was it actually a hoax? Furthermore, the name signed at the end of the letter was Jack the Ripper. The first time this name was used. After its publication, the name stuck. The second letter was called the Saucy Jack Letter. The Saucy Jack letter, postmarked October 1st of 1888, was received the same day by the Central News Agency. The handwriting was similar to the Dear Boss letter. The most interesting part of this letter is that it was postmarked about 24 hours after the bodies of Eddowes and Stride were found. News outlets and the major public did not know any of these events. Nobody knew that they occurred yet. And newspapers hadn't reported anything when the letter arrived. The letter itself quotes a double event this time, meaning the person who sent this new facts about the Jack the Ripper case, no one else knew about. So was this one actually him? And then there's letter number three, and by far the most famous letter. The letter received on October 16th, 1888. Claims to be written from hell. So they call this the From Hell letter. Although the writing was different than the other two, what makes this letter special is part of a kidney that came with it. Considering Eddowes' body was found without a kidney, authorities paid more attention to this evidence. The letter goes on to say that he ate part of the kidney. Authorities tested the kidney and they realized it came from a human. However, they could not tell anything else about its biology. You know, back then, less technology. Here is a photocopy of the actual letter for your reading pleasure. Just in case you can't read it, I will read it for you. From Hell, Mr. Lux. Sir, I send you half a kidney I took from one woman preserved. I took from one woman, preserved it for you, to their peace. I fried and ate it, was very nice. I may send you the bloody knife that took it out, if you only wait a while longer. Signed, catch me when you can, Mr. Lusk. And some of it is, it's misspelled. So that's why I was having kind of a hard time reading it. But anyway, and if you remember, they did make that Jack the Ripper movie with, what's that guy? Anyway, it was called From Hell. I don't remember. I think it was okay. It came out a while ago, in the 90s, I think. Okay, let's move on. So now comes the part where they speculate who Jack the Ripper actually was. And the list of suspects reached the hundreds. Considering he was never caught, Today, your guess is as good as anyone's. Theories suggest he was a middle-class man who might have lived in the area. It would make sense considering Jack the Ripper's victims were all found close together. Some say he might have been a doctor. Others say he was a wealthy aristocrat who came into town to murder as he pleased. So, where did he go? Although no one knows where Jack the Ripper went after his murders, others concluded that he might have left the country. That's because the Ripper murder spree abruptly stopped after Mary Jane Kelly. One of the most intriguing coincidences in the Jack the Ripper story is that he is believed to have moved to the United States. But hold up, before I go there, let's back up a little bit, because there's evidence that suggests something else. So, okay. Let's back up. In 1885, so remember the Jack the Ripper murders, they happened in 1888. So this was 3 years before that. In 1885, 3 years before the Whitechapel murders in London, there was a serial killer that they dubbed the Servant Girl Annihilator, who killed many women. And this was in the United States. It turns out that Jack the Ripper and the Servant Girl Annihilator killed in many similar ways. This made police think that they were the same person. Okay, let's talk about that. The Servant Girl Annihilator killed 7 women, 5 black and 2 white, and 1 black man, and seriously injured 6 women and 2 men. That's a lot of people. His MO was to attack indoors while they were sleeping in their beds, then drag them outside and mutilate them. This happened to 5 of the women, but he managed to severely mutilate 3 of them and leave them for dead outside. Does it sound familiar? This sounds like Jack the Ripper, right? And you know, back then in the 1800s, it's not like they had a fast mode of communication. I mean, telephones had just been invented, so I'm assuming the common population didn't have them. I would assume that maybe like the police force did, and higher up individuals, aristocrats and, you know, the wealthy, but, you know, not common folk. There was, you know, probably newspaper, but even if they printed the newspaper today, it doesn't travel as fast as you think. So there's no way that these two people knew about each other, if they were two people, you know, if they were actually two people. So, okay, anyway, let's move on. All of these victims were posed similarly, with 6 of the murdered women having a sharp object inserted in their ears. The victims were Molly Smith, 25, who died on December 30th, 1884. Clara Strand and Christine Martinson, 2 Swedish servant girls, who attacked but only wounded on March 19th, 1885. Eliza Shelley was murdered on May 6, 1885. Irene Cross was killed the night of May 22nd, 1885. Clara Dick was attacked and seriously wounded in August of 1885. Mary Ramey, 11, who was just a child, oh my God, can you believe that, was murdered the night of August 30th, 1885. While he managed to kill the poor girl, her mother, Rebecca Ramey, was severely wounded. Oh my God, that's terrible. Gracie Vance and her boyfriend, Orange Washington. Is that accurate? I gotta look that up. Orange. Okay, we'll just say his name is Orange, and I'll come back to it and edit it if it's not. Were both targeted and killed on the night of September 28th, 1885. The series of murders concluded with the tragic deaths of 2 white women, Eula Phillips, age 17, and Susan Hancock. Susan was attacked while sleeping in her 16-year-old daughter's bed on the night of December 24th, 1885. Although Susan's murder was pinned on her husband, Moses, he was arrested but soon acquitted for all the charges. Even though these murders happened before the Whitechapel murders in London, they caused London authorities to question several people in Texas. Ultimately, they put James Phillips in jail for these murders. The conviction was later overturned, though, and James Phillips was the husband of Eula Phillips. And we can even fast forward after the Whitechapel murders. So after Jack the Ripper supposedly killed his victims in 1888. Let's fast forward a few years. So in 1891, Carrie Brown was murdered in New York City. Someone strangled her to death and mutilated her with a knife. Although no organs were taken, authorities found her ovaries outside of her body. So that makes a lot of people wonder, did Jack the Ripper return to the United States after his murder spree in Whitechapel? So if you see the timeline, the Servant Girl Annihilator murders happened 1885. Then it was Whitechapel in 1888. And then several years later, in 1891, this New York City woman was found dead. Fascinating, right? So what do you think? Do you think this could have been him? Did he come from the United States, go to London, and then was never caught, mind you, and then moved back to New York City or something like that? With all of this information out there, it's no wonder that Jack the Ripper has become incredibly famous today. And even in 2015, an official Jack the Ripper museum opened in London. It has historical documents and recreated crime scenes where the bodies were found. Similarly, there are many Jack the Ripper tours all around London, and there's even like free ones and stuff. And guess what? In 2019, I actually went to the Jack the Ripper Museum, and I loved it. It's very creepy, but very cool. So it's a small-ish building. It's a five-story building, and each floor is recreated to look like either the old streets of London or a police station or like where they thought Jack the Ripper actually slept. You know, it's very creepy. It's very cool. And it's decorated with items of the time. It even has sound effects of the time, like children screaming to buy the local newspaper. You have police station recreation with, supposed evidence of the Jack the Ripper case. It was such a complex case with piles of letters accumulated throughout the office. There is even a theoretical room of what his house would look like. It's pretty cool. You can go in and inspect it all, take some pictures. I went there and I took video. This was in 2019. It was my last trip before the pandemic, and I put it on my other channel that's called Designing Life. If you want, I can link that. I can link it here in the description below. But even though the Jack the Ripper Museum is great, it also has a mortuary where you can find all of his victims and like excerpts and pictures and stuff like that. That's how I knew, actually, for this podcast here, that's how I knew that that these pictures actually existed. I didn't realize they existed, but yeah, they had them there posted and memorialized, kind of thing. Anyway, if you're into like creepy dark tourism, go to the Jack the Ripper Museum in London. It's pretty cool. We will probably never know who Jack the Ripper really was. Ultimately, everything is a speculation. Everything's a theory, a guess. Nothing really seems to fit. But what we do have is some pretty intriguing stuff. I have more stories like this if you'd like me to tell them. I know that these are particularly gruesome and they're not really ghost stories, but I like researching them, and I do have another one that I wrote on my blog a long time ago, my travel blog, about Peter Curtin, the Dusseldorf vampire. That was his serial killer name, Dusseldorf vampire, because sometimes, not always, but sometimes he drank the blood of his victims. But he was seriously deranged. If he thought Jack the Ripper was deranged, this guy, Peter Curtin, he was absolutely insane. And it's so vile that I don't even think, like, I feel like it's going to be taken down because there's so much detail to all of his stuff, all of the things he did. And he was, like, indiscriminate. He killed, like, men, women, children, animals. Like, it was just crazy. Anyway, if you want to hear it, leave me a comment. I will make it into a podcast. But that's it for now, my horror junkies. I hope that you've enjoyed drinking your cup of latte and hanging out and listening to some scary stories on Mocha Macabre. And Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween, guys. Enjoy your night. Thanks for sipping something sinister with me on Mocha Macabre. I'm your host, James, from iMonster.com. And if you enjoyed today's tale, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share the chills with a friend. If you want to submit your spooky ghost story, you can do so by email, info@imonster.com. That's info@imonster.com. Until next time, stay weird, stay caffeinated, and sleep with one eye open.
Don't forget to like and subscribe if you dare.